You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. Check out the site now. Our picks straight up and against the spread are there for week number 11, as well as the positional rankings, the sleepers and bust picks, as well as my signature weekly column, The Decider, the start sits for the week of 11 in the NFL. So check all that out. Get into that. And we're going to dive into those games in detail now for Week 11 as we do our back-to-back matchup shows in the middle of the week here on Locked On Fantasy Football. Matchup Wednesday, we'll hit seven of the games. We'll hit the other seven of the games on Matchup Thursday. So a lot of good stuff. Bye week still here. Some notable teams, including the Seahawks and Packers off. So we still have an abbreviated schedule. Soon we know all 16 games will be played here in a given week. So a few more weeks of bias to navigate through, look at the matchups, maybe play guys that you normally wouldn't, consider guys in a lot of matchups that you normally wouldn't. So all that said and done, let's get going here with the Thursday night game where we always start here on Matchup Wednesday. The Browns are 2.5-point favorites against the Steelers. It's a low over under 40.5. So not expecting too much with the two defenses here. Baker Mayfield and Mason Rudolph, two former Big 12 rivals there at Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. They face off for real here in the NFL with quite a bit on the line. The Steelers are currently in playoff position. The Browns are trying to save some face here, stay alive somehow in the AFC North. It's going to be hard with the way the Ravens are playing, but Browns do have a win over the Ravens. This is their second of six. They're in the division, so still plenty of time for the Browns if they're able to do some damage in the division. So bottom line is there's a lot to play for here on both sides there, so you should get a pretty good game. Now, let's start with the Browns offense. I think you look at Odell Beckham Jr. If he showed up a couple of times, it's been in primetime spots, and here's a chance here at home to get something done. I know he's been quiet here of late. Jarvis Landry looks very good right now. The Steelers really struggled to cover the slot, so Landry's really coming on strong. Beckham has faded, but I think this balances out a little bit more now that you have Rashad Higgins involved. You have Kareem Hunt, some more dangerous weapons here in the Browns offense to open things up for Odell Beckham Jr., especially the way Jarvis Landry's working in the middle of the field right now. So all that being said, I think you like Jarvis Landry a lot in this game, and Odell Beckham Jr., you still have to keep playing him. It's going to come through eventually, and this spot looks pretty good. With the other things working in the passing game for the Browns, things can get going there. Now, Nick Chubb, you're going to play as you usually do. I would just temper your expectations. If you've got better options than Kareem Hunt, he's relegated to being the receiving back. I think you go away from that. Certainly, you can't trust Baker this deep into the season. There's so many other quarterbacks with more favorable matchups here, even with Baker at home. He did play pretty well last week, but I'm not going to chase that and try to get that low kind of ceiling type game. He's a decent floor, but still nothing you're going to trust in this particular game. So Chubb, Beckham, and Landry are in your lineup. Wouldn't really extend to Newton much more. Now, the Browns defense, I've been on the fence about this one. They've been disappointing for sure the past 2 weeks. We thought they would do a little bit more damage against the Broncos and Bills. As it comes to fruition, maybe the emotional primetime bump can help this week. And we know the Steelers gave up a big defensive game to the Rams, who are struggling coming in to Pittsburgh last week. This game's on the road, hostile environment there for Mason Rudolph as a young quarterback. So maybe this was a chance for the Browns to get going, some emotion to save the season. Look at it that way. I think the Steelers, however, a little bit safer on the other side with Mayfield there. I know road defenses are hard to play, but the Steelers have been making so many plays here with Minkah Fitzpatrick. What an ace acquisition of just the cost of a first-round pick for the Steelers. He's been making a big play every week to really pad their stats. They can rush the passer. So Mayfield, again, that's why you're worried about the turnovers piling up in this game. Should things go bad here really for the Browns. Now, James Conner should return. He's been practicing well early in the week with the shoulder injury, so he should be back here on Thursday night to play. We've missed him. They've really struggled to run the ball without him. They weren't that good with him But Connor is going to get the high volume. We know Jalen Samuels struggling a little bit. You're not going to see Benny Snell probably again, and then you have Trey Edmonds as well. So good possible game for James Connor to just get him back on track. That's what the Steelers want to do, run the ball, take the ball out of the hands of Mason Rudolph. And that also makes sense in this matchup. The Browns are much more vulnerable against the run than they are against the pass. They've got the pass rusher, Miles Garrett. You also have Denzel Ward in the back end and some good coverage. So not feeling Juju Smith-Schuster and the Steelers receivers in this one. That means I don't feel Mason Rudolph. I think this is going to be a pretty heavy Connor game. He should be in there if he's healthy enough to go. Vance McDonald, I can't also go in that direction either. I think it's going to be a little bit of an ugly defensive game. So that makes both defenses viable here. But I just can't see a scenario where you're going to have this passing game lighted up for the Steelers. I think you'll have more running success with Connor there and more passing success on the other side with Mayfield, Beckham, and Landry as the headliners in this week. So, again, not extending to Juju. He's going to get pretty tough coverage from Ward in this one. He had a tough time last week with Jalen Ramsey. Ward is similar. I think Ward can play even better than he has, and it's not like he can fight through this matchup. It's a good spot here for Ward to slow down Juju Smith-Schuster for sure. Now, the next game we look at, also in the one – now into the 1 p.m. window, I should say, for Broncos and Vikings. The Vikings are 10.5-point favorites, lower over-under than the Steelers-Browns. It's actually at 40, and part of that is tied with the Vikings and maybe not giving up much to the Broncos here. It's implied that they will control the action here. So in this at 10.5, you're looking at 25-10 type of 15 type of game here for the Vikings. So not a lot of explosive plays for the Vikings here. The Broncos are pretty good defensively. We know that. I think it's going to be the Dalvin Cook show. So don't love Kirk Cousins here. Stephon Diggs could see Chris Harris Jr. for sure with Adam Thielen on the shelf. I mean, that should be the expectation here if Thielen can't go again. So, again, the Vikings are going to have to grind out this one, win more with running game and defense. We know how that usually works out for Cousins and his targets. So there's that. I think you play Diggs anyway because what you've got – you could probably don't have much better than him at this point with the boomer bust potential there. So Diggs is in there, but wide receiver 3, more like upside this week. And then you look at Dalvin Cook, he's still an RB1. Alexander Mattison, you could look at him as a desperate flex if you've got, say, a Chris Carson off or Aaron Jones off and you need a replacement. You could look certainly with Mattison, you could do a lot worse here. The Vikings defense at home should smash it, sound the horn. It feels really good here for them to win a defensive and running game dominated game. Now, on the Broncos side of things, Brandon Allen making another start. Drew Lock needs a little bit more time with a thumb injury to be an option here. We know Joe Flacco's not coming back. Allen looked pretty good. He threw 2 touchdown passes, ran around well for the Broncos. So he's going to get some garbage production in this one, that's for sure. It's very tough to run on the Vikings, so I don't expect a whole lot from Philip Lindsay and Royce Freeman. This game could also get out of hand, where you have Brandon Allen thrown quite a bit. But Cortland Sutton I like. I think he'll still get the job done. We saw what Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup and even Randall Cobb did last week against this Vikings team. They do have a lot of holes. I mean, you just can't trust anything after Sutton in this offense. Noah Fant, another decent chance, but the Vikings are pretty good against the tight end, so keep that in mind overall. So I think overall, when you look at this situation, Cortland Sutton is the only Bronco that I feel great about. I think if you need Philip Lindsay, you can certainly play him. And the defense certainly a no-no here on the road against the Vikings team that's been good at home against weak opponents, even though necessarily they might not cover that big spread this week. Now, we do have another 5 games to talk about on this first half show matchup Wednesday for week 11. But guys, first we got to take a break to talk about sex. That's right. Great sex. And remember the days when you were already ready to go? Well, now there's a way to increase your performance and get that extra confidence back in bed. All you have to do is listen up and go to BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew, the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients of Viagra and Cialis, so you know that it works. You can take a BlueChew anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And because it's a chewable, they can work up to twice as fast as pills, so you can be ready whenever that opportunity comes along. And guys, we're all used to talking such a big game, but we need something that's going to help us with our follow through, backup or words here. And Blue Chew is going to do that for you, enhancing your performance and getting that extra function and more confidence where it counts. Blue Chew prepares and ships directly to you, making them cheaper than a pharmacy. And you don't have to wait in a pharmacy either. None of that awkwardness of doing that or going to the doctor. Blue Chew is prescribed online and ships straight to your door in a discreet package as well. So All good things there to get your Blue Chew. And you have a special offer right now as a listener to Locked On Fantasy Football. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use the promo code Locked On. That's right. Just use the promo code Locked On. You'll pay the $5 shipping there. Again, it's BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com, promo code Locked On to try Blue Chew absolutely free. Blue Chew, the better, cheaper, and faster choice. And we thank them for sponsoring Locked On Fantasy Football. We'll be right back here with a look at the next three games on the Week 11 schedule. All right, let's continue breaking down games in the segment here for you. The Saints and the Buccaneers is up next as we stay in the 1 p.m. window now on Sunday here for Week 11. 50.5, so pretty healthy over-under. I think that means a lot of good points. It's the highest in the games that are not on Monday night. We'll get to that game tomorrow between the Chargers and Chiefs. But here, 50.5, 5.5-point favorite the Saints are on the road here. That's about right to me. Buccaneers coming off a win at home against the Cardinals. The Saints losing at home to the Falcons. So a little bit of something has to give here in this matchup. But overall, let's look at it from a fantasy perspective here. The Saints, I mean, struggled last week, but Drew Brees gets a secondary that's been awful. Carlton Davis is hurt. Vernon Hargraves was released. MJ Stewart is hurting. This secondary for the Bucs is absolutely a mess right now. So Michael Thomas, a big day. Maybe Traquan Smith and Ted Ginn can get a little going here in deeper leagues for you to take advantage of that. Jared Cook in a good spot as well. A tight end in coverage, having the second-best target option after Michael Thomas. Now the running game typically is not good against the Buccaneers. They're strong there, but Alvin Kamara should be involved in the passing game a little bit more. He doesn't look totally right. I wouldn't extend to Latavius Murray this week just because of the Buccaneers being straight up good against the run. The Saints struggled last week with Kamara, so Kamara, hopefully he'll get a little bit going here with some extension of his production in the passing game that helps, but it's a bit frustrating for sure with Kamara. You're expecting Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook type numbers. You're not getting them from Alvin Kamara, and he missed those two games, of course, before the team's bye there. So something to keep in mind there with Kamara, and hopefully he gets going here a little bit, but he's going to have to do it more in the passing game this week. Now, again, Ginn or Traquan Smith, more of a dark throw here. They necessarily may not need them with the way Thomas can eat up this matchup and Cook as well, so keep that in mind. But some way Drew Brees is going to get the numbers in this one that are much more pleasing than his touchdownless day against the Falcons at home last week. That's more anomaly. This is more what you expect in a good matchup. Now, on the Buccaneers side of things, Jameis Winston, he put up 20 fantasy points there in the six-point passing TD leagues last time. So he actually had a clean game. We'll see about Marshon Lattimore. But the one matchup they exploited was in the slot. Patrick Robinson's hurting. You have P.J. Williams out of the mix here. So if you got Eli Apple having to play a little bit more and be the number one corner, that's going to be great news for both Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Of course, they're locked in your lineup every week. Attached to them, you'll see some good play from Jameis Winston. O.J. Howard getting involved a little bit more. The backs, namely Ronald Jones, catching a little bit more. And that's where you have to count on Ronald Jones' production here this week as well, because the Saints are very stingy against the run. These are two of the teams that have been consistently just solid in stopping the run. That's a number that usually does not lie when you have data deep in the season. So Jones is going to have to count it on for his production in the receiving game. Good thing he's doing that now. Dare Ogunbowale no longer a factor as the third down back here for the Buccaneers. Now, when you look at the defenses here, I think you're going to avoid that. But Godwin, Evans with Howard, and the principal there of Jameis Winston, all good spots here against the Saints, especially at home, especially if Lattimore is out here. So I expect this to live up to being a high-scoring game when you have the 50 points there. You expect both teams to score pretty well with the 5.5 there as the spread, and I think it'll live up to expectations a little bit better for the Saints offense and the Bucs offense, really, than it did in Week 10 for both there as well. Now, the next game we'll look at, also a all NFC South affair. The Falcons travel to play the Panthers, and now this line has gone up to 6 points for the Panthers. It's 49.5, so just a shade, really just a point less than the other South game, and a half point in spread worse than the other game. So it should be another good one where points are scored. Then you look at the Falcons side of things. Matt Ryan, good spot here. Typically plays well against Carolina. I know Julio Jones could see a little bit of James Bradbury. He's been tough on him of late, but you got Calvin Ridley. They'll work the receivers more with Austin Hooper expected to miss this game for sure with a knee injury. So you're going to have to find a tight end. Alternatives there pretty much ruled out here in a very tough spot if you're getting hurt against the Saints. So a little bit more targets for Ridley and Jones to go in this one. And the big news here is Brian Hill is going to be the starting running back here. Ito Smith was put on injured reserve with a neck. You have Devontae Freeman dealing with a foot and ankle injury that he's going to miss a couple weeks. So Brian Hill actually looked good. He got high volume, most important things. Volume is pretty key, we know, in fantasy football, and the matchup is very good against the Panthers. So Brian Hill, if you had Devontae Freeman, you're plugging and playing him this week. Even if you didn't and you went out and got him, you get a bonus starting running back that you can use as an RB2 or flex this week. For sure, plug him in there and hope for the best. But again, this matchup is very good, and the usage is also looking good for Brian Hill in this particular game. I don't really like Ridley as much as Jones in this one. I think it could be a heavy Jones game for sure to get him going. But Ridley, a little touchdown dependent. There's not anybody now like Mohamed Sanu or Austin Hooper to pull the coverage away from him. So that hurts a bit, especially when Ridley has to work a little bit more inside this week. If you need the Panthers defense, you could look at it. But the Falcons do play pretty clean offense now at this stage. So keep that in mind. And that you might not get any sacks and turnovers the way you've expected from Panthers games at home in the recent past. So and keep in mind, you're not going to put in the Falcons there against Christian McCaffrey on the other side. Now, Kyle Allen, nice little sleeper here, played well. He did have the interceptions there in Green Bay, but overall, connecting well with DJ Moore, who's locked into your lineup now as a wide receiver 2/3 every week with his usage. Curtis Samuel, the Falcons still give him some big plays downfield. The Panthers are better equipped to do that than the Saints were, so Samuel in play. Greg Olsen getting a lot of trust from Kyle Allen is that guy underneath that he's going to trust the most here. So I think those principal guys with Moore, Samuel, and Olsen all need to be in there, along with, of course, Christian McCaffrey. It's a no-brainer to big points here. So I expect the Panthers to win this game. Could be a little close. I think it's going to come down to the end to see if they can win by a touchdown or more in this one. So it's a good offensive fest, good source of fantasy points on both sides, including now a cheap RB2 value there in Brian Hill. Now, there's two games from the NFC South, but we'll close this segment looking at the game from the AFC South. We have the Jaguars and Colts. This one is in Indianapolis. It's pretty cool here that Nick Foles is returning, so we'll see what happens there. And we expect Jacoby Brissett also to return from his knee injury. So you have two different quarterbacks than we had last week for the last time these teams played. Gardner Minshew out and Foles in. Brian Hoyer, disastrous play against the Dolphins last week. So you're looking at a pivot back to Brissett probably in this one. We'll have to monitor that all week. Now with the Jaguars, I wouldn't get too crazy. I think you look at Dede Westbrook and Chris Conley behind Dede Chark. Not worth really too much in shallow leagues, but in deeper leagues, I think they certainly have viability. Westbrook should return from his multiple injuries. Conley has been a big playmaker as well, with DJ Chark getting the attention. So I expect those two guys to be rather involved behind Chark in this one. We have to see what the Chark-Foles chemistry is like, but from our indications in the preseason, when we saw Foles, it was a lot more with Westbrook in the slot and Conley on the outside. They were teammates, the latter two, with the Chiefs, so there's a bit of a chemistry built in before they both arrived in this situation. So there's that to monitor. Still, I don't really love Nick Foles. It's still the Leonard Fournette show. DJ Chark still in your lineups every week, regardless of this maybe pivot more to Westbrook and Conley. He's just too talented not to play this one. So the two LSU guys, Chark and Fournette, certainly in your lineup. You're avoiding other things, however, from the Jaguars offense. I think Nick Foles, if you need him, is a deeper league or 2QB league, you can look at him. But I'm not too enthused. The Colts have played very good pass defense here of late. Now, on the other side, the Colts have Brissett returns. That certainly helps some of their weapons. But keep in mind, T.Y. Hilton's going to miss another game. Paris Campbell might need to miss another game. You might get Devin Funchess on the mend here soon to help this receiving core. But it's pretty much you're down to Zach Pascal. You could see a lot of A.J. Bouye in this one. So I think it's a good game spot here for the tight ends. Eric Ebron and Jack Doyle to do something here. They got to use them somehow. Their receiving core is rather thin at the moment, and got to use that and Ebron can make a few big plays downfield. Doyle can score touchdowns. So Doyle and Ebron certainly have appeal at home in a favorable matchup. Again, I would avoid Jacoby Brissett, even if he plays against the Jaguars. The Jaguars are tricky sometimes against the pass. So it's some team that could just limit the ceiling here for Jacoby Brissett this week. And, yeah, expect to be without Hilton maybe for the rest of the season, but certainly not this week here. And Marlon Mack, you're starting. You hope for the best. It's just been kind of underwhelming of late for him, but he's getting the volume. He's going to keep playing a player like that. But after that, I mean, tight ends have the most viability here for the Colts here in week number 11. Now, there is you're looking at five of the games. We've got two more games to talk about in the first half breakdown here of week number 11. But first, I've got to talk to you about DoorDash. I mean, if you've had a long day at work or a tough day at school or you're simply just stuck in the office or at school, treat yourself to the meal you deserve and have your favorite restaurants come to you with DoorDash. DoorDash is going to connect you with your favorite restaurants in your city. Ordering is easy. All you have to do is open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and food will be delivered to you wherever you are. Not only is your favorite pizza joint already on DoorDash, but there are over 340,000 restaurants in 3,300 cities, so you might find a new favorite too. There's door-to-door delivery in all 50 states and Canada, so you can order from your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants such as Chipotle, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, and the Cheesecake Factory. So don't worry about dinner. Let dinner come to you with DoorDash. And right now, you, the listener to Locked On Fantasy Football, can get $5 off your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app. Enter promo code Locked On. Again, promo code Locked On. You'll save $5 off your first order from DoorDash. All you have to do is download that DoorDash app and enter the promo code Locked On. You'll save some cash and get your food in a flash. We'll be back in a moment to break down the final two games of the first half, but also got to tell you about Away. Away creates thoughtful products designed to change how you see the world. For $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com/lockedon and use the promo code Locked On during checkout. All right, we'll be back to close the show with a look at the Bills, Dolphins, and Texans, Ravens. All right, two more games, as we mentioned, to talk about. We'll get into another seven games tomorrow. Don't you worry. We'll get the comprehensive look, breaking down both sides of every game here on the Week 11 schedule. Now, the Bills and Dolphins, the Bills are six-point favorites on the road. It's a 41 over-under there for this game. Now, let's start with the Bills side. Josh Allen is going to do his typical thing. He's not going to be exciting, not going to have that high ceiling, but he can get you the two touchdowns in some form, something over 200 yards passing, 30 to 50 yards rushing. We know that's what he does. And against bad teams, he always comes through. So even on the road, Josh Allen, we like. It's not the sexiest play that you can make this week if you're in a tournament or something like that. But if you're in a cash game or you just want to get a fill-in there for Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers, you can certainly look in that direction this week with Josh Allen. Now, running back, Devin Singletary, we're going to stick with him here. Tough game last week against the Browns. Didn't get the usage necessarily that he wanted, but he's still playing well ahead of Frank Gore, both on early downs and in receiving situations. Frank Gore could get a few extra touches here, given maybe it's the last chance he plays in Miami, where he went to college, where he once played. But it's still going to be Devin Singletary. They're going to be more about their head than their heart here, as they need to win badly after losing at Cleveland last week. So Devin Singletary needs to be used more. John Brown, a great matchup. Cole Beasley, if you need him, he's been very productive of late, working the slot as the next best option. Nick Foles, I'm not going to extend too much behind that. So John Brown, more of a wide receiver two this week. Cole Beasley backs in as a PPR wide receiver three. Devin Singletary has some back-end RB2 value, and that's all I'm looking at. And the Bills' defense, of course, a team that you can plug in and play and get decent production, even with Ryan Fitzpatrick, the former Bill, playing well on the other side. You can still put up some points against them. Now, the Dolphins don't love Devontae Parker, probably going to get the Tre'Davious White treatment there. Mike Gesicki could be tough for him in the middle as well. Really don't like anything. Kalen Ballage, in theory, with his volume against his Bills' run defense, could do something, but I need to see it to happen first. I haven't seen it with the opportunity he's had. I just don't think he's very good. So there's all that playing on. So avoid all the Dolphins if you can this week. Go as much you can reasonably with the Bills all the way through their defense here in week number 11. And then finally, this is the marquee game of the early schedule to me for sure. The Texans and Ravens. This is a 50 over-under. So Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson in the same field. The Ravens are favored 4.5 points at home there in Baltimore. So let's look at the Texan side of things first. Deshaun Watson, don't make it difficult. He's in your lineup every week, as well as DeAndre Hopkins. Will Fuller, we have to wait and see. I think he could return here from the hamstring injury if he does enough for practice. But big concern here is just the secondary of the Ravens. I mean, Marlon Humphrey playing inside can maybe follow DeAndre Hopkins all over the field. You got now potentially Kenny Stills working the slot here. So he could have a little bit, but Humphrey sometimes plays the slot as well. So you have to be concerned about that. And then you look at Will Fuller. Will he return here to make a difference? I don't trust it totally. Marcus Peters is there with Jimmy Smith on the outside. So a lot of stuff in the Ravens secondary, including Earl Thomas in the middle, roaming the middle of the field there against the potential of Darren Fells being used. So it's tough overall, but still you'll have Deshaun Watson get it done somehow, mostly with Hopkins, some other receivers getting involved. He always gets his numbers, even with his passing and running being a little limited at times in this game. It'll still happen. So, again, there might be a question mark. Should he go with him? There's never a question mark. You play him. He just has such a high floor with his running and having to throw to get score a touchdown. So, look there for that value. Now, the problem is there with the Texans is that you have limited running success here. The Ravens have been very good against the run. Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson could find it a little hard to get going in this one. So I like the Ravens a lot in this game. It's a pretty low number to me in their favor at home. They're playing really well. I know they played the Bengals last week. The Texans are a little slightly better. They're coming off a bye, but still concerned of how good this team can be there against a better team. So the Ravens have a good backbone with the run. And then you look at now, Lamar Jackson locked into your lineup every week. It's a great matchup. It's a good spot here again for Marquise Brown against the Texans secondary. They'll be a little bit better off the bye, but I think Lamar Jackson can buy time, get the ball downfield, much like Deshaun Watson does to his receivers, but the Texans are working with a much weaker secondary versus the Ravens in this one. So Jackson should have a little bit more success overall, running and passing, than Watson in this one. Brown is certainly viable here. I don't think you extend to Willie Snead or someone like that, but definitely Mark Andrews stays in your lineup. The Texans are pretty decent against the run, but Andrews, we know, is a special player. He kind of works as that number two wideout pseudo-type player here in this offense. That's why it's a bit hit or miss, because he's not necessarily the traditional tight end. He needs to find a way to get free to get open downfield, and this game certainly calls for that for sure. So, yeah, so Jackson, Brown, there you're going with that combo. And you won't be running on empty with that. And then you have Mark Andrews delivering there as well for you. Red hot game that he needed, get well game against the Bengals. So those are the three principles you look at, as well as the Mark Ingram in the running game. The Texans are pretty good against the run, so I don't expect a lot of numbers from Mark Ingram. But we know he always has a good chance to score a touchdown playing off the running of Jackson in the red zone there. If you need the Ravens defense, I think I would stay away. So goes with the Texans defense. These offenses with these quarterbacks, Watson and Jackson, are just too dynamic to trust there. So there you have it. There's a look at the first seven games of the Week 11 schedule, breaking both sides down from a fantasy football perspective. We'll come back tomorrow to look at the final seven games, leading with the Lions Cowboys. Hopefully we get some news on Matthew Stafford there. Then going all the way through Sunday Night Football, Bears Rams, and the Monday Night Football, the Chiefs Charter. So comprehensive breakdown of the week has begun here. Thanks so much for listening for Locked On Fantasy Football. For Matchup Wednesday, this is Vinny Iyer. See you tomorrow for Matchup Thursday.